Welcome back to Shoujo, dear listeners. It's your host, Sarah, as always, joined by the star of the podcast, Joe. And together we make up Shoujo, the recap series that recap and discussion that covers Shoujo anime. And currently we're covering The Rose of Versailles. And dare I say, it's the best coverage we've done. This show has got it all. And we're over halfway now, so lots more to look forward to on that front. But before we get into it, tell me all about you, Joe. What have you been up to?
I went to Dallas this weekend for a friend's birthday and did a lot of going out. So
you just was partying exciting. It up back to back weeks.
That's right. So I've been going out in the town. Went to the Stockyards in Fort Worth, where they ride out all the Longhorns, and it's like old timey Western. So that was pretty good.
Back to your Texas route.
That's right. And it was a great temperature for it, and I don't want to be there ever again. Any hotter, and I will not be having a good time.
Dude, tell me about it. It's all I talk about. If I move somewhere else, I'll become a new person because my personality won't be based around complaining about the heat.
Yeah, so that was really good. I had a really good time. Let's see, I'm not really sure. I watched that one movie that came out. I watched Mikey 17.
How was that?
It was pretty good. It was like it was not really what I expected necessarily, but it still ended up being very fun. It's like a lot more character driven than I guess I was expecting.
Yeah, it's like 17 of the same dude, right?
Yeah, well, he's the 17th one, so they're not supposed to be multiple at the same time. So it's like every time he dies, they reprint him out, essentially.
Yeah.
And he is the 17th iteration.
Okay.
To me, these little weird animal, these little alien bugs that are cute, and they're on this ice planet. And what's his name? Mark Ruffalo plays like a Trumpy kind of guy.
Oh, no. I was like, Mark Ruffalo is hot.
Oh, he's good in it. I like it.
Gotcha.
So, cool. Yeah, that was good.
You watched this on the plane back? Was anyone what are you watching?
No. No, I watched Rose of Versailles on the plane back.
Rose of Versailles, yes.
And had to manually take notes for the episode summary. So that's what I was doing on the plane.
No one was giving you looks.
Now, the ride back was only half full on the flight, but it was my final flight that I will take with Southwest before it becomes like every other airline.
Okay. I know, because that's like the airline I've been using since I was a child.
Yeah. But now there's no advantage. You might as well just use anything now. Who cares?
Okay. Bummer. Well, yeah. Now I don't know I don't know. It seems like a whole disaster. The airline industry. So.
Oh, yeah. That's true.
From the few facts I pick up.
Right.
It just seems like there's been a lot of news reports about it lately. So.
Yeah. So not much else happened. I guess Arkansas had an upset basketball game. So that's always fun. That's where I went to college. So we like that.
Love school spirit. Make it your whole identity.
That's right. I think we're playing Texas Tech next. I mean, by the time you hear this, that'll be over. But before that, it's not.
Yes. No. I feel like, I don't know anything. I feel like Tech wasn't, or at least when I was there, I don't know that we were particularly good at anything. Maybe like women's basketball. But I know our paintball team wasn't that good. We kind of just whatever, mediocre. Texas A&M rolling out the only school funded paintball team in Texas and massive, and we're tiny and having to put our own fields together and dirt fields with glass shards that are slicing people up when you slide into bunkers. It's treacherous times.
That sounds bad.
Someone had to go to the hospital and get stitched up. It was pretty bad. So college sports.
Yeah, so college sports, we all love that.
Yes. Yeah,
that's all that's been going on my end. What have you been doing not being on vacation?
Yes, never. I should take more trips. I'll have to. I'm at least going to Cancun for my sister's bachelorette party, of which I feel like I'm just going to be neurotic and like checking that everyone's there, that no one's been abducted or sold or something's here. I'm just going to be like on guard. They're all going to be cutting loose and I'm going to be like, stay away, creepy dude. That, like, when I drink, if I'm out drinking with my sister and any dude would talk to her, I'd like do the like, I see you, dude, like the finger gesture, like, watch it. That's my sister.
Uh-huh.
I get sassy when I drink, I guess.
Okay. Well, that's good.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah.
Look at me for once being a good oldest sister. I do not. You see like the videos online of being like, oh, this is what the oldest does and the middle and the youngest. And I do not identify with the, you know, nurturing vibes of the oldest child. But what I've been up to, let's see, I woke up at 2:30 this morning. Sleep issues have not ceased. So I was up for a long time making sure my mic sounded good. So for the love of God, every week for the last several weeks, I've been like, I think my mic is fixed. And then there's some little thing. It hasn't been too bad, but I think maybe I finally have it figured out. Fingers crossed. I binged watched Severance season 1 and 2 because like everyone's talking about it. And I was like, I can't contribute to conversations at all unless I've seen it. So I watched it. I don't know if you've watched it, but
nope. I have no time to do anything ever.
No, sorry.
All of my time is gone.
The podcast getting cut. Joe doesn't have
the time. I don't have time to watch this TV show people will talk about for another 2 months.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, yeah. It is always very. So it's like, look, I finished it, coworker. And he's like, cool. On to the White Lotus now. That's what we're talking about now. And it's like, cool. Okay. I've been this weekend. I played a lot of Monster Hunter Wilds. I haven't been streaming much lately, so I did a 10-hour stream on Saturday and then like a 5-hour stream yesterday. Wow. And it was good because I haven't like sat down and played that game very much. So that was good. What else have I been doing? Oh, I met with someone about this stray dog. So hopefully by next week I will have rehomed him. That'll be good.
I might have sneezed at Mark 11 minutes and 9 seconds, and I ran out of the room to not sneeze into the mic, and it still caught it.
Oh,
but tell
me
about the dog. What's going on with the dog?
Okay, I don't know. Yeah, just that I have some contenders for rehoming now.
Oh.
So if we're lucky, maybe by the end of next week, he'll have a new home.
Nice.
And he'll be given a name because everyone's asking what his name is. I'm like, I haven't given him one. I'm going to give him some badass name. And then someone's going to take him and give him a dumb name. He's going to be like, dang, I missed that other lady. She's way cooler and didn't give me a lame name. Anything else? I don't think so. We'll see. The reviews are coming in for Inzoi, that Sims life sim game, and they seem kind of average. So maybe it's not that good, or it just won't. I think it would be early access. So technically, it's not like it has to be. Well, games just come out when they're ready, you know, but yeah. So many games, especially sim games, just stay in early access for a very long time.
Oh,
Yeah. So even when they're fully released, it's like missing vital content and stuff, so we'll see how this goes. I know, but like apparently it has a really good character creator, so I'll probably just get it to like make a bunch of characters and be like, oh, it looks so cool.
Make all your little guys.
Yeah, well, it's more of like, right, the Sims, basically you're in a god role, but the game doesn't acknowledge that, but this game does. So like you have like a relationship with the things you're creating and managing, and they like have thoughts about you as their creator, and I don't all this stuff. We'll see when I play it. Work has this last week has been better. It's not as busy, so I've had time to breathe a little. So that's been good. I don't know that I have much else to say. Nothing crazy. Oh, I did go to a meetup, like a ladies above 30 kind of meetup, and socialized a bit. I'm realizing it was technically a 35 and up thing, so I was like lower than that, but I still came because it was close by. But I'm realizing just general women of that age, maybe I don't have very much in common with.
What do you mean? Are they all watching Severance? Is that why?
No. It was just like, well, one chick was like, I'm just on the prowl for chicks to come with me when I go pick up dudes.
Yeah, like, you should be friends with her.
Oh, God. I exchanged numbers with her, but yeah. I'm like, I know. Oh,
you can be on the prowl. Like,
oh, God. We'll see. But I don't know. They're just it's just very like water cooler conversation. Nobody like everyone with super like fancy professional jobs, like freaking engineers and stuff. Everyone was nice, but I feel like I didn't deeply connect with anyone. So, but if they have any more meetups nearby, I'll go. But yeah. So it was all right. But I did that. So go me.
Did you mention our anime podcast? Are you like, I do this anime podcast where we talk about this children's cartoon about Marie Antoinette?
They were the crowd for that. No.
Just pretend like you know history and they'll be like, oh, where did you learn all this history about the diamond necklace affair? And you're like, well, funny you ask that.
Uh-huh. Yeah, okay. That's the strategy I should go for. Okay, something exciting actually did happen. Sorry, I'm like, oh, I don't have anything else to say. And then it's like, now I have these things to say. It's ongoing development. We'll see if anything comes from it. But when I was doing the weekly stream for work on Wednesday, I was surprised to have the official Twitch channel for Sea of Thieves in my chat. I like, you know, was like, oh, hey, if you guys ever want to collaborate on anything, you know, hit me up. So I have I'm emailing them right now, but how cool would that be? Well, it's Rare. And you know what Rare has done? Viva Pinata. And I'm like, that's a fun game. That would be cool to do something with.
Yeah.
Yes. Like, I'd be more interested in that. But Sea of Thieves is like their hot thing that's currently popular. But yeah, so exciting to have a possible lead thanks to me.
Yeah, there you go, pulling your weight.
I'm gonna own it. I'm be like, this is mine. This is me. I did this.
This is like, this is your way up.
But we'll see. But that was exciting. And I super played it cool. I wasn't like, everyone play it cool. Big deal in the house. Yeah, that's all I have for real and now.
Sarah the professional.
I don't feel like it, but I am a working person, so I guess I am.
You are a working person. That's true. I never was doubting that.
I don't know. I just don't feel like a professional.
Oh, you're just not in enough really boring meetings. Really formal, boring meetings with people you don't know. Once you get into more of those, you'll really start feeling like you've been doing this forever.
Well, maybe one day. I just don't feel like a grown up yet, but I am old now.
But I'm going to that 35 and up meetup anyway.
Yeah, I know. Yeah. Okay. Anyways, let's talk about something cool and fun, like the Rose of Versailles.
The Rose of Versailles, where only cool and fun things happen this week. It's definitely all good times.
Oh, that's true. Devastating times for Joe. But we'll get to it. Oh, okay. I thought you were going to be like, no.
No, I feel like I feel like this worked out pretty well. The fact that this was like just a true historical event that I had forgotten about, it made me be like, oh, I remember this. Oh, okay.
Okay, I started listening to that podcast you sent, but I was listening it from the start, but I had started it today and didn't get to the part that talked about the...
Yeah, I sent you the Revolutions.
Podcast
episode 3.4. You listened to the first part where they talked about how broke France is at this point?
Yeah, that's the part I had heard. I didn't get to the like actual necklace stuff.
The part about the necklace, yeah. Well, okay, yeah. I guess this is good, like window dressing for this episode. By this time, France is super broke, like crazy broke. Like they were already doing bad, and then they hired a guy whose plan was to spend more. We'll get out of debt by spending more, and it didn't work. Nice. So it's bad.
Bad gamble.
It's bad. Yep. That stuff's actually about to be, like, I'll probably have to do some coin. Well, we'll see what the show does in terms of explaining that, because I'm probably going to have to explain that, because we already saw how eventually the Estates General meets, which that's well, probably happening
that.
In a couple episodes. Yeah. I guess I'm going to have to explain what that is if the show does. We'll see what the show says.
Yeah.
It seems a little complicated for
the show, Joe.
For this thing that's mostly intended for like teenagers, of being like, well, all of these people from all these different classes have to come together to agree on tax law.
Yeah, I see that not being the most engaging.
No. It is unfortunately the most important, the most important thing that happens, but we'll see. I'm really interested to see how they'll play out the like, because the first part of the French Revolution is very like political maneuvers and like people doing stuff. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't start like busted out into the streets until later.
Yeah.
So I wonder how into that they're going to get. You know what I mean? Are they going to talk about the salt tax? Like, I don't know. They might. I've been surprised by this show so far. So who knows? We may have episode that's tax code.
We'll see.
We'll see. But yeah, let's get into it. So episode 22 is called The Necklace of Ominous Radiance. I hand wrote this on an airplane. So forgive me if it doesn't sound as natural as the other ones that are going to happen, because writing stuff on an airplane means my handwriting was not fantastic. And also, I wrote 4 pages for one episode. So it was a lot. It took me like an hour. This was so long. Anyway, we open on a jeweler named Bomer presenting a necklace to Queen Marie. Apparently, it was a necklace that was originally ordered by King Louis XV for Madame Dubarry, if you remember her. However,
nice call out.
Yeah, but it took so long to make that he actually died before he could buy it. But it's so expensive that nobody else can afford it except for Marie Antoinette. She's the only person who can afford this expensive thing. It's like he built a super yacht and his like the person he made it for died. Marie is like, that's really cool. How much is it? And he says it's 1.6 million livres, which the narrator tells us is 19.2 billion yen at the time. I didn't actually convert that
80s,
up.
It's a lot.
But that, it's a lot of money for a necklace. It's like a necklace that's like just rows and rows of diamonds. It's like, it looks ridiculous.
I would say it's a very stylish one. It's just the materials, I'm assuming, that make it expensive and not the design.
Yeah, it sparkles real good. Marie refuses to buy the necklace, as the narrator tells us that misfortune will fall her. It's the OP plays.
Okay, at first I was like, did we have a time skip? Because it felt abruptly different. Also, to note, I was re-listening to our first episode of this, and you said it was episode 19 that the director switched, and that's probably why everything felt like the art looked a little different, and everything got super dark.
Yeah.
So that, and that 19 is exactly where it happened, so it should be pretty good from now on, since those ones are so good with this new director.
We're gonna be doing big time skips in these episodes that they just kind of don't really announce
for real.
But we cover like for 5 real. Years in 2 episodes. We return to Queen Marie meeting with the king. She tells him that she's pregnant in a way that's very cute, but he is too stupid to understand. There's a big celebration, and Oscar is very hyped that there's going to be a new king. There isn't going to be a succession crisis. Hooray. We're all told that Marie had one girl and one boy. Oscar no. tells... What?
Is it... I thought it was two daughters and then a boy came.
I think that's true. We only see one daughter. I don't think they live. I think they die in childbirth or like really young, so they don't mention it.
Yes. Yeah. Okay.
I can look it up real quick. Talk about what the children look like or something.
But basically, the daughter just looks like a little Marie Antoinette. And then once we see the boy, it's got like the same hair color as Louis. But yeah, I was just like, okay, cool. We're not going to see like the, I guess we know they bone at some point because children. I was like, is it going to be like baby first in or something? But no, it's happened. And at least it gives Marie Antoinette some purpose, I guess. But again, a distraction from her duties, and she's going to prioritize. I mean, it's not wrong to want to prioritize your happiness. But in that position, I feel like, which sucks, but like you should be obligated to help your citizens.
Yeah. So she had four kids. Maria Teresa is the one that we see. She lives to be old. Do you remember what the boy was called? Which one?
I think it's just another Louis, maybe.
They're both named Louis. So there's Louis Joseph Xavier, who dies at 7 years old. I'm assuming this is the one we're ignoring. He died of tuberculosis. And then there's Louis, who will eventually be Louis the 17th. I'm assuming that's the one.
Yeah. Okay. Because, we only see one existing child before the baby.
Although he was born in 1785, and I don't think we got there yet. So maybe he just hasn't been born yet. Well, yeah, because the sentencing.
Okay, so then maybe the boy we see now is the one that's toast.
Yeah. So that's the one who's gonna die.
He's not gonna make it. Poor chap.
Yeah. That sounds right. Okay. Well, this is Xavier. This is little Joseph Xavier. He ain't gonna make it.
Damn.
Rip to him. And then she has another daughter that dies after 11 months in 1786. Damn. From some also tuberculosis, I guess. I don't know. Anyway. So we haven't skipped any kids so far. Let's see. Oscar tells Andre to bring her somewhere to drink while all of Paris celebrates that there's a new heir. And not going to be a succession crisis. The narrator tells us that Oscar is naive to believe that the people's joy would last more than a day. Which it does not. The pirate man tells us that this will be their last big party for a while. We see this quite a bit.
Pirate man's back.
This guy's back. We need to name this guy because he keeps showing up.
Yes. Well, he's got a peg leg.
He's got a peg leg. Yep. It's so good. I love this guy.
Accordion. Yes.
You have anything else?
Let's see. No, I just like that guy a lot.
Yeah. We see Marie being a mom and hanging out with her kids instead of, doing the thing she's supposed to do, which is listening to nobles complain about stuff and resolving their problems. She eventually, goes to do that, but hates doing it so much that she asks the king to let her cut back on her meetings and live in a small chateau instead with the kids.
My question is, why isn't he doing that? He's not doing anything. Maybe it technically falls under her duties, but it's not like he's doing anything.
Yeah, I think it's the queen's job to do that. I think he's mostly meeting with ministers and stuff. Because in episode 24, we see a bunch of meetings of ministers. I think he spends most of his time doing that.
I didn't see him there making his goddamn locks. Is he going to make locks for the children as their toys?
I don't. I guess he just gave up on the lock thing. Maybe he finally.
No. He seems decided. More composed now, maybe a little bit.
He seems a little bit better, but, mm-hmm. he still isn't recognizing that this is a problem. So in effect, what this means is that she would no longer hold audiences, basically, because she's just at the chateau and the only people a very small number of people are allowed there. So she can't meet all these nobles, and a lot of these nobles get disgruntled. We cut to Oscar playing piano. Later, Andre tells her that Marie concluding her audiences is clearly like creating unrest with the nobles. Like, this is a problem. But Oscar doesn't want to hear about it because she never wants to hear about any of Marie's faults, even if they're so big annoying. Problems.
You act like you care, but then just if it's not her involved, if she's involved, then you're fine to just let it happen. I guess it's like happy wife, happy life with these nobles. Like, they're, you know, if they're not pleased, they're going to make more trouble than it's worth to just listen to them.
Yeah. I mean, Oscar just likes Marie so much as a person. She kind of forgets that being the queen is a job that is like fairly important. But you know who hasn't forgotten that being a queen is fairly important? Empress Maria Theresa, who in Vienna calls her daughter a fool for abandoning her duties. She like collapses a little bit, but then recovers. And she calls out to her daughter to love her people and to be loved as queen, which she will do neither. Lightning strikes as the narrator tells us that Maria Theresa soon died at age 63.
Yeah, and I guess Marie has a brother, we learn. Wasn't his name Joseph?
Oh, are you talking about...
Oh, maybe that's why her son is named Joseph.
No.
Marie Antoinette's brother?
That's her father, I believe. Maria Therese.
No, he was calling her mother.
Oh, are you talking about the
Maria Theresa. Yeah, so she has a brother.
Yeah, there's actually stuff going on in Austria that isn't really covered. But
well, I could see that being a big like. Well, if her brother is anything like her, then Austria's doomed with him being the king now.
Yeah. So one of the things that happens during. I guess it hasn't. It does happen. So her brother has a claim to a throne in Bavaria that's contested. And there's a thing called the War of Bavarian Succession that happens because she's a Habsburg, and Habsburgs are just like this. They have claims to everything and everyone gets all mad about it. There's like a bunch of stuff going on in the rest of Europe that we just don't really pay attention to.
Gotcha.
But Maria Theresa dying is like a big deal. In terms of power dynamics, because she was in power for a long time, I believe.
Yeah. Like 40 years or something.
Yes. Let's see. What's the next thing that happens? I have to read my handwriting.
Sorry.
In Versailles, Marie gets the news and is so overwhelmed with sorrow that she can't stop crying to write like a letter of condolence.
Well, you got your wish of Count Mercy being back for a hot second.
That's true. He's there. He's not doing much anymore.
No.
But he's there. Elsewhere, Bomer still can't sell the necklace after 4 years. He says nobody will take it. So he's going to try to do another pass at Marie. The camera zooms out to see that he's talking to Jean about this. He asks her if she can use her connection to Marie, you know, that she totally has, to get her to buy it. And Jean agrees while Nicholas looks on worried. Because this seems like a bigger piece than they could chew, but they're doing it. Later, Jean is pounding back vodka when Nicholas asks what the plan is. He reminds her that she doesn't actually know Marie Antoinette at all, but she says that she's got this. Like, don't worry about it. We got a plan. It's all good. The next day, she meets with Cardinal Rohan. She convinces him to co-sign a purchase as the guarantor because Marie will buy the necklace in paid installments. So he's like the collateral, essentially. But this is a secret, though, because you can't go around buying a bunch of jewelry when the debt's so bad or something. But, you know, even though that excuse isn't good, Rohan just buys it immediately. So whatever. He's like so eager to do this. In the dead of night, a forger forges the purchase contract that specifically signed Marie Antoinette of France, which is going to be important. The next day, Rohan, Bomer, and Jean make the purchase. Jean takes the necklace while laughing maniacally.
Very much so.
In a montage, she tells Nicholas to take the necklace and to break it down into the individual diamonds and sell them in England. She tells the forger, Renault, to flee to Switzerland, and she is going to stick around for a little bit as to not draw suspicion. We cut to an enraged noble yelling at Oscar to see the queen. Oh, I'm sorry, did you want to talk about the last thing? About this whole sequence? The plan? Because we're cutting back to Versailles.
Just forgers, again, make a good living, I'm sure. I guess it's risky, possibly, to be a forger of things, but... Well, that's just like every plan involves one. Every scheme needs one.
We're gonna find out next episode. This guy actually kind of sucks at his job really bad. He's not really a good forger. It turns out Rohan's just an idiot.
Yeah, well, yes, that's definitely the biggest thing. What is she? She doesn't even know what she wants. She's just doing it.
Dude, she's just doing it. It's great.
Yes.
Let's see. Back in Versailles, an enraged noble yells at Oscar to see the queen, but she is not giving audience to anyone. She threatens to throw him out, but he says, fine, throw me out. I came here because there's a big serious debate I'm having with another noble that she needs to mediate. But if the queen's too busy going on canoe rides with her kids, then I guess it doesn't matter all that much, does it? He keeps making a fuss and Oscar throws him out. The narrator tells us that the royal family was losing support among the commoners and the nobility at this point, which is not good. You don't want to lose support from two of the three estates.
Mm-hmm.
Back at the Jarges manor.
Ideal.
Yeah. Andre tells Oscar that the American Revolution is over and the French troops are coming home. Oscar thinks about Fersen. Andre excuses himself, but Oscar tells him that she will see Marie tomorrow and ask her to resume some of the audiences with the nobles, because I guess we should start addressing problems before Fersen shows up. Or he's going to be very disappointed in her.
Oh, whatever. He doesn't care. He doesn't care one bit.
It's the next day. Oscar visits Marie, who is very happy to see her. Her daughter is there, too. And they're like being cute, hanging out. They're being so cute that Oscar can't bring herself to tell Marie to resume her duties, instead just hangs out with her all day.
Ugh, God, Oscar, have a backbone.
Can't do it.
Grow a spine. Jesus.
Her and Marie take a boat ride and talk about Fersen. Marie thinks now that she's had kids, maybe she's over Fersen. I guess we'll find out soon. I'm going to vote. The answer is no.
Well, maybe if he has a disfiguring injury, she'll be like, ew, gross.
That's
and
true.
Then Oscar can have him because she likes him as a person rather than just his looks.
That's true. Oscar and Andre ride home. Oscar comments that Marie is the happiest she's ever been. So maybe she'll just ask her to do her job some other time, I guess. On the way back, they run into an injured veteran from the American Revolution and help him get to the home of one of his friends who died so he could deliver some stuff.
I thought this was going to be I'm going to see my friend who's a friend of person and person dead kind of thing.
No, this is just like a little
a hot second.
Like, hey, remember, person could be injured horribly and we just don't know about it.
Yeah. Mm.
Oscar thinks of Fersen and asks Andre to take her to a bar. They drink enormous beers as Andre tells Oscar that Fersen was not on the list of casualties, so he's still alive, but Oscar is still distressed.
Oscar is just drinking so much the last few episodes.
A lot. Oscar's getting pretty drunk that and a man offers to drink with her. Yeah.
It's like off-colored.
But she refuses, and Andre tries to de-escalate, but the drunk man persists, and he ends up hitting on her, and also, like, putting his hand, like, on her hair or something. So she smacks him across the room, just, like, real hard, sending him careening over several tables.
Keeps calling her a beautiful lad.
He's a beautiful lad. Well, Oscar is a bit of a beautiful lad.
Mm-hmm.
Oscar stands and says she'll turn this whole place upside down if anyone tries to touch her again. Comments that she seems really on edge from the last time he saw her, and she turns and sees that it's Robespierre. Maximilian Robespierre is here. He's still a big shot lawyer, and he's like, hey, how's it going?
Working for the people.
Yeah, I'm just here saving France. You know how it is. You know how you're not doing that. Remember when you were supposed to do that, but then you didn't?
And this is the guy that we saw in that little village in the inn, and then also who gave the speech at the coronation, right?
Yes, that is that guy.
Yeah.
He will be the most radical of the initial revolutionaries. The other patrons over here, Robespierre, mentioned that Oscar is an officer, which would make her a noble, and they all get pissed off because they all hate the nobles. A fight breaks out and Oscar and Andre get beat up as Robespierre and Bernard, the journalist, watch on.
Have we seen this Bernard guy before? We haven't,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, he was there when Rosalie's mom got ran over.
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. And he was like, okay, you can come talk to me if you ever like want to talk about anything, and she walked to Versailles instead. Abedin, Oscar, and Andre walk home as Andre jokes that it could have been worse. I mean, like, at least they didn't find out that you were a woman and they thought you were a man the whole time. I guess that would have been worse. But he's like, but I knew, Oscar. I can always tell you're a woman. And I'm like, really, Andre, is this the time?
It's just years and years of internal. They just,
There's nothing more romantic than getting beat up with the woman you're in love with at a bar because she started a fight that she didn't need to start.
No, yeah, she's getting a bit brash at times.
Yeah, but she is drinking a lot.
She's always been that way. Yeah, that also probably has a big influence on it.
Back in Versailles, Marie gets a bill for the first installment on the necklace that she didn't buy. She's like, well, I don't know what this is. Like, what is this guy serious? He thinks he's just going to, like, force me to buy this? That's dumb as hell. So she burns the bill instead. A narrator tells us is the beginning of the diamond necklace affair that's going to rock everything for a while as we cut to credits. There we go. Marie's a mom. She is neglecting her duties once again.
At least she's not neglecting her children. Yes,
that's true. It is a kind of astonishing how, like, the king doesn't think this is a problem, but part of the thing is that, like, he's assigned a minister to do this, right? It's like the minister of the interior is like who's hearing all these nobles' complaints, but they need a royal to resolve it, I guess, or something.
Or maybe they just feel like they're being patronized if it's not by
the
person who would normally do it.
There's also that.
Well, they're all pissed because they're like traveling so far to come and then getting turned away.
I would be pissed.
Okay, and we saw a glimpse because they talk about how only her super inner circle can come visit her now at this villa. And we see a glimpse of Polniak, I think, in the wagon. Yeah. So, because I was like, there was no mention of Rosalie or her in this episode. Nope. And I was like, okay, they just continue not being a thing. Like, where are they?
Yeah, they're still around. Don't worry, Polniak, we'll get a shout out next episode.
Yep.
Okay. I don't have that much else to say about that episode. It really dovetails in with this one. So I guess we should just do both of these. So episode 23 of The Rose of Versailles is called Cunning and Tough. We open on Bomer being dragged in / begging that the royal family make the payments on the necklace. King Louis is like, what necklace? What are you talking about? Marie is summoned to the palace while Rohan is detained by the royal guards. We learn that the date is August 15th, 1785, and that marks the beginning of the diamond necklace affair, which is going to rock France for a year.
So Oscar is 30 now. Right? Is that right?
She's born in 1755. So yes, she's 30.
Yeah.
I'm 30. This could have happened to me.
Think you could handle it?
Yeah, I think I could handle it.
No, I think you would speak the truth and they'd be like, we don't want to hear it.
I would just
be. And then you become the pirate accordion man.
I would just be like,
your truth at that.
Off with everyone's head. Everyone's head. It's all rolling off. No. Mm-hmm. All right. After the opening, we cut to Rohan groveling in front of the king and queen as he has to explain how he was so easily fooled into believing that Marie Antoinette was having a secret correspondence with him and wanted him to buy this necklace. He shows her the love letters he sent him, and she's like, oh my God. King Louis points out that the handwriting is totally different, and also, you don't sign documents with your royal title, like you don't say Queen Marie Antoinette of France. You just sign it with your birth name, so she would just sign it, or her baptismal name, so it would just be Marie Antoinette. Rohan, you're a noble. You sign stuff like this. Why don't you know this?
I don't know, but I'm glad at least Louis knows something about his wife, and, like, it wasn't dumb enough to be like, how could you? Like, immediately, I guess Rohan is such an idiot that even Louis is like, you're an idiot.
Yeah, I need to stress again, this is the thing that literally happened in history. Like, the whole diamond necklace affair is a real event. Cardinal Rohan really didn't realize that they forged the signature wrong. This is real. God. I can't believe the most cartoonish clown man was the one that was real. King Louis determines that Rohan's just an idiot, but Marie says that he must be in league with Jean and Nicolas, so she demands that he be put on trial. They're going to have a public trial, and they're all going to be on it. So he is taken into custody in Paris.
I feel like they should have just
stripped
him of his idol and stuff. That would be a quicker, like, thing than trial and stuff. Just get him out of there.
Yeah. I mean, so I guess the situation is that because this is, like, technically a royal thing, the royal family can deal with this on their own, or they can throw it to the court system, which is independent, but then they can't get involved in the court system. Which is what she chooses to do here, which is a massive mistake, it turns out to be.
Yep, because she doesn't realize no one's going to be cheering in her favor, even if her side is the truth.
Yep. In Paris, Jean goes to see Nicole, the prostitute Marie lookalike. She has come to kill her, to tie up all the loose ends. She, like, walks in as Nicole is, like, trying to, like, set prices or whatever because she can't see who it is. She raises the dagger over her like she's going to stab her, but can't bring herself to do it. Instead, she lets Nicole recognize her. She's like, oh, it's me. And she gives her some money and tells her to get out of town right now.
Yeah, that's a nice mercy on her part.
Yeah, I like this stuff. It doesn't really work out for her, but
no, it does not. Also, I feel like that chick should be charging more than she is. She just got lean into the whole I look like the queen thing, like that one gal in Game of Thrones who was like pretending to be the mother of dragons in a brothel thing.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, she got played up.
Well, 10's a lot, I feel like.
Is it?
I feel like it is for regular people.
I don't know. I'm only seeing amounts spent by royals.
Yeah, I feel like that's unrealistic. So
in comparison, the scene's tiny.
Yeah. As Jean leaves, she's detained by the royal guard and arrested. Jean, Rohan, and the forger are all arrested. Nicholas is still missing in England, so he's at large while the rest are going to await trial. We cut to Rosalie tapping on the piano in Oscar's room. Oscar shows up and is like, what are you doing here? And Rosalie asks what the sentence for Jean would be if she was convicted. Oscar doesn't answer, so Rosalie explains that Jean is her sister, actually, because Oscar doesn't know this, I guess. But she doesn't want Oscar to think badly of her, so she never said anything. Oscar's like, oh, geez, well, I guess it's possible she didn't do it. I mean, she hasn't been convicted yet, but Rosalie's like, no, I think she probably did it. That sounds like her.
Yeah. Yeah, so at least she's seeing her for what she is now.
Rosalie's what like, do you think of- no, she didn't.
Yes. What do you think? We like in everybody's playing the piano now out of nowhere.
Yeah, the piano. Everyone's got piano skills. Oscar's going to play piano several times. Rosalie's going to play piano. It's great. We love sad piano here. I love anxiety piano playing.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Rosalie asks Oscar to go see Jean in prison so she can give her mother's ring. She wants Jean to have it, and Oscar agrees to do that. Elsewhere in Paris, Robespierre tells his crew that the upcoming trial will be a peek across the veil into, like, what the nobility are up to. Like, they're doing stuff like buying extremely expensive necklaces. Like, what's going on? We should all listen to how they fritter money away. And they should, like, find a way to spin this such that they can put Versailles itself on trial. And all the guys are super hyped to knock the nobility down a peg. They hate these guys. Late at night, Oscar goes to see Jean. She's like, hey, Rosalie told me to bring this ring to you. It's your mother's ring. And John's like, I don't know anybody named Rosalie. And Oscar's like, yeah, okay, sure. And just leaves the ring on the ground for her and leaves. Good. John's covering for her sister. Yeah. That's good. Later, the trial is held. We're told that the High Court of Paris is an independent system out of control of the king. Jean pleads not guilty at trial and tries to pin everything on Rohan. She's able to keep her cool. She's able to keep a cool head while Rohan is like panicking and yelling and stuff. The judge points out that Jean did hire the forger, but she says that she doesn't recognize him. So it's just her word against his in the gallery. What?
That was just, yep. Agreeable. Mumble.
Yeah, it's like this, you know, before CSI, right? Before they had crime investigation labs.
Yeah.
It's just people saying stuff.
I mean, I would assume back in that day, they'd just be like, don't listen to the woman. She's probably lying kind of thing, but they seem to be.
I guess so. But they also have to be like,
but the audience.
Rohan, you're really stupid. Like, are you really expecting us to believe that you're this dumb?
Yeah.
In the gallery, Oscar points to Rosalie, or points out to Rosalie that Jean is wearing her mother's ring. She can see it on her finger. Jean thinks about how she doesn't want to lose here, and she's going to find a way out. Just then, the judge calls on a witness. It's Nicole De Oliver, the blind prostitute that Jean didn't kill the other day. At that point, Jean knows that it's over. Nicole comes and confirms her identity, and Jean raises her fist as if to stab Nicole, but then lets it go.
Well, I guess it makes sense, right? She was arrested as she came out of that lady's place, so it's not like she even... They probably came and talked to her immediately, and she didn't have a chance to leave. So I can see her having, like, been pressured to testify against Jen.
Yeah.
Jean.
Yep, it's too bad. Yeah. It's too bad being kind gets you got.
That's right.
You know, she would have killed her. There wouldn't have been a witness. She maybe could have gotten off. Mm-mm. Rip.
Uh-huh. Or they arrested her there. They go inside, see she murdered someone, and then she's in even bigger trouble.
Yeah. Maybe
they arrest her right outside the place.
Yeah, but they didn't go in. They just capture her right there. They're just here for her. They're not going to investigate where she went to.
Well, maybe they did. And that's how they discovered this witness. And then if she had killed her, they would, or she would have been covered in blood, maybe. Who knows?
I don't know. Anyway. However, Jean isn't out of it yet. She decides to put on one final show, which is great. God, fantastic. I love this. She's doing like a
unexpected.
Yeah. The judge asks her to explain her actions, and Jean says that, yes, she was deceiving Cardinal Rohan, but only because she had received orders from above, from somebody who wanted the necklace at all costs and hated Rohan. And you know who that person was? That's right. It was Queen Marie Antoinette herself. This is a scandal. This is a big affair. This is a big conspiracy theory. The judge yells that Queen Marie was the one who wanted this prosecution. Why would she? That doesn't make any sense. This is an obvious, unsubstantiated lie, and you'll be held in contempt of court if you continue to lie to everybody. But Jean continues, undeterred, saying that Marie probably held this trial to blame everything on her. The judge demands evidence, and Jean tells her that she burned the first bill from Bomer to get rid of the evidence. Why would she do that otherwise? Isn't that awfully suspicious? And some of the disgruntled nobility who are in the audience shout in agreement that that is suspicious. Maybe she is. Maybe we should bring her in here. And the judge has to silence them. The judge tells Jean that Queen Marie claims not to know her or anything. So what do you say? You're saying the queen is lying? And Jean is like, yes, the queen is lying. She does know me because she took me as one of her lovers. That's right. Queen Marie is bisexual and the gallery is scandalized.
OK, I need to ask what your subtitle said, because mine said lesbo.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, oh, my gosh, what a claim. Interesting.
You know, she's we're like lovers, you know, like how they are on the island of Lesbos, you know. Y'all know what I'm talking about.
It's like she had to explain what it meant because maybe it was just such a foreign concept to some people.
Yeah, I don't know. But this is a very funny.
Hail Mary for sure.
Oh, dude, it's so good though. The judge is like, yeah, okay, I haven't heard of this. Do you have proof of this? And Jean says that of course she does. She's like, hey, you guys know Madame Pontiac and how she's like Marie's favorite and is around her all the time, like day and night? They're just so close. You know, what do you think that could mean? Hey, you know who else is really close to Queen Marie Antoinette? Oscar Jarges of the Royal Guards. We all know how close they are. She's been her like royal bodyguard for like her whole life. My husband is an officer who works under her, and he, you know, we all know how Oscar likes to cross dress, but deep down she's just like a normal woman. That's because Marie Antoinette likes to keep her lover around her dressed as a man as part of her fantasy. Queen Marie is a woman who gets everything she wants, right? So why wouldn't she get this? And everybody is like, oh my God. And Oscar is so incensed, she almost draws her sword in court, but Andre has to stop her.
The good thing Marie Antoinette was not here to witness it, or she would have made the situation worse for herself.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
Oh, this is so good, dude. Just.
Goodness gracious.
Just getting destroyed. Well, she's not even there.
Yeah. I'm like, you didn't want to call out that, you could have been like the first in thing to confirm that she's had affairs in the past, because that's one that like is unspoken truth that everyone knows already. So I feel like that would have been like to show she does have affairs and that one's publicly known. And then,
yeah, but I don't think that's scandalous enough.
Other one. Well, setting up the story for more credibility, maybe, and then introduce the lesbian aspect.
Yeah, but I feel like it's a scandal that she's a lesbian and she takes a lot of women, including me. That's why I was put up to this. Mm. See all these women she keeps around her? I mean, there's that Ferguson guy, but that doesn't help me in my argument.
Mm, yeah.
But yeah. This is an incredible moment. Oscar totally gets owned here. Learn to play politics, Oscar. Come on.
Yeah.
Jean concludes saying that she was just a puppet in Marine's game, or in Marie's game. She's the one responsible, so we should be putting her on trial. And the gallery bursts into jeers as both disgruntled nobility and disgruntled commoners call for the adulterous Austrian lesbian to come in here. Bring her in here. Order breaks down and the judge calls for a recess.
My goodness.
In the crowd, Robespierre and his junior, Saint-Just, and Bernard all watch on amused, and they're like, wow, that really blew up, huh? The narrator explains that the diamond necklace affair installed resentment amongst the populace, especially the younger ones, against the royal family, and they would never recover that that credibility hit. In a carriage, Rosalie tearfully apologizes to Oscar for what her sister did. Oscar is still in shock and not really listening. She says that Jean is a masterfully resilient woman who was so composed, even though she had like totally been exposed. Oscar is like, I have never seen a woman like that before. My God.
She's impressed.
Imagine impressive. Somebody good at scamming. I've never met a confidence woman before. She had so much confidence.
Yes, you just know it. Friggin' damsel dummies like Marie Antoinette. Oh, God. If only Marie Antoinette had that kind of ambition.
Oh, yeah, for real. Maybe things I mean, this would is be why better. This is why Marie Antoinette and the Empress keeps being like, God, I just had to send her, huh? I mean, I learned later on through the Revolutions podcast that was her only remaining unmarried daughter because several other ones had died. That was not necessarily her first choice, but it was her only choice.
Yeah. Okay. How things could have been different, maybe.
Yeah. On May 31st, 1976, everyone is not 19. It's in 1786. Wow, I just got this completely wrong.
I was going to say, you said 80 earlier.
I just wrote down the wrong date entirely.
Gosh darn it, Joe.
In 1786, everybody was sentenced. Nicholas was sentenced to hard labor for life, but he's just still missing because he's gone. So I guess they'll catch him later. Renaud the Forager is exiled. Nicole is found innocent because, you know, she didn't really do anything. Jean is sentenced to life in prison and branding on both of her shoulders. And Rohan is found innocent.
What the hell? He should be guilty.
Should be guilty. I mean, it's funny because, like, the judge gets it right. Right? Like, these are the people responsible. And these are the people that just got duped because they're morons. So it's actually a pretty good sentencing. So kudos to this judge. It's not going to matter very much. Jean demands to know why she's being punished while Marie is still being left alone. The judge tells her that just as the royal family cannot interfere with the High Court cannot interfere with the royal family as he walks away. In Versailles, Queen Marie is outraged that this is how it turned out. She's like, what the hell? The bad guy, why is she the bad guy? She couldn't even be there to defend herself. And now everyone's saying that she's like an evil lesbian mastermind. What is this? Also, how did Rohan get away scot-free? Like, he's just totally innocent. What was even the point of this trial then, she says?
Yeah, you should have left it in your court so you could, you know, like, be the one determining his punishment.
This is why you keep things under your jurisdiction if you can. She asks Polignac what she did to deserve this, and Polignac wonders aloud how Oscar could have let, like, a con man like Nicholas serve right under her nose, because we're already getting knives out for each other here, I guess. We cut to Jean's branding. She's going to have a V branded on both her shoulders, because the French word for thief starts with a V. But, you know, as we expect, she's not going down without a fight, and, like, and, like, pushes through and tries to make a break for it. She, like, bites a guy, but she's eventually overpowered because she is one woman and these are, like, four huge dudes. She screams to the crowd that she's innocent and that it's all the queen's fault. Eventually, they force her down and brand her, as all of the observers fall silent as they seem to be on her side. I don't think this was a good thing to do in public.
No. They need a community manager to convey to them what is the sentiment of the people.
I remember listening to
and then act accordingly.
Yeah, I remember listening to a podcast about public executions a long time ago. Mm. And like they can be kind of dicey because like the audience can just turn on people on it. Or like if there's someone they're sympathetic to, that can go pretty bad. Or like if the executioner does like a bad job, that can go bad for the executioner. So like these are very dicey situations to deal with kind of in general. I think bringing out somebody that everybody thought was innocent is probably not a good way to do this. Also, she's still alive. No. So.
Yes. Oh, God. Joe.
Yeah.
I need to get an allergy test. Sometimes I think I'm allergic to cats. And I have a cat. Oh, God.
Not a good combination.
No.
Being allergic to the cat you own. Yeah.
Itchy. Okay, carry on. All right,
we'll finish this out. Jean is thrown in prison, and the narrator tells us that many, many people are sympathetic to her and visit her in prison, including some nobles. She has like a whole caravan of people coming to see her. Back in Versailles, Marie asks Oscar why any of this is happening, and Oscar explains that Jean is being, promoted by a bunch of angry nobles that couldn't get an audience with her while she was hanging out with her kids. And Marie wonders why they would do something so terrible to her just for something so trivial as meeting with them. Because I don't think she really understands the importance of her job. We cut to Jean in prison. She says to herself that she's had a lot of fun. She always wanted to pull a prank like that ever since she was young, as we cut to credits.
Mm-hmm.
Love to...
Your girl, she's in trouble.
Love to describe the affair of the diamond necklace as a prank.
Yeah.
It's a prank. Is this the precursor to the French Revolution where like thousands of people are gonna die? Yeah, but it's kind of just like a big prank if you think about it.
Well, at least she doesn't seem to she shined brightly and quickly, I guess, and she didn't exactly know what she wanted, but at least she's still be infamous for is there a person? Is she like a real person who was in this, or this is just made up for her? Jean.
Yeah, Jen. No, she's real.
Okay, so then, yeah, look, legacy and Joe's admiration.
It's impressive.
What more could you want?
I mean, it's like absurd. This entire story is completely ridiculous. Even her like bringing the prostitute out to meet Rohan, the blind prostitute. I don't know if she was blind. She might have been. Is true. That's a thing that happened.
Mm.
It's incredible.
Yeah, he's scheming.
These people are so dumb. You can just do anything.
Yep.
She doesn't actually... Her fate ends up being a little bit different from what I've read on the Wikipedia.
Okay. Well, let's hear about it.
So, episode 24 is called Adieu, My Youth. We open on a prison guard discovering that Jean has escaped somehow, as we see like a cartoonish looking like bed sheets being tied out the window. It's very funny. We see a carriage pull off with her inside, along with a masked man who seems extremely like the Duke Orleans. Remember that guy? He learned how to wear a full face mask instead of just a big hat.
Mm-hmm.
He tells Jean that he has a job for her. She seems skeptical, but she's in no position to refuse, as the OP plays. We cut to a montage of commoners gossiping about Jean's escape. They're like, oh, maybe Marie busted her out, or maybe she like made a daring escape. Who knows? All this other stuff. Blah, blah, blah. People love to gossip. At the Jarjay's estate, mm-hmm. Rosalie plays a sad piano song. As we see Madame Polignac pull up outside in her carriage to watch Rosalie play sad piano through a window. Later, Rosalie rides to the bank of a river to think about Jean. She hopes she finds happiness when suddenly Polignac shows up. She says that they haven't seen each other since Charlotte died, and Rosalie tells her to like get out of here because I don't want to see you. But Polignac insists that she's her birth mother, and so she has a right to come see her. Then Polignac apologizes for what happened with Nicole, her actual mother, but insists that it was just an accident. Rosalie mounts her horse and says that she's just now starting to forget how much she hates Polignac, which also means that she's going to forget that she is her birth mother. So we're just going to have nothing to do with each other. How about that? And then rides off. She turns to see Polignac cry as she starts to ride off, as Polignac says that she's all alone now. Rosalie rides off as Polignac glances up at her
with a a stern look.
A stern. Yeah.
I have a scheme.
We're scheming. In Paris, we learn that Jean has been publishing a series of memoirs that are all the talk of the town. It's being published by an underground publisher, which means some noble is bankrolling this whole thing. And it also means that the royal guard or police or whatever are having a really hard trouble repressing it. They can't censor it very easily.
Mm.
At the Jarjet's estate, Andre is reading the first volume. He gets to the chapter on Marie's lesbian lovers, and he's like, yep, you're in here, Oscar, right under Boignac, which is extremely funny.
Yeah, that's good.
Rosalie comes down the stairs and is freaked out to see the book. She grabs it and runs off. Oscar says that she doesn't care about her reputation, but she is worried that people would believe such obvious lies. How could you live in a world where people believe such obvious conspiracy bullshit? Can you imagine living in a world where people are brought into positions of power because people believe dumb shit? I can't believe it.
Yeah, it's going to be a continuing theme. The parallels.
Anyway.
Unreal.
Just like, I'm just imagining like the diamond necklace has like a big crypto coin or something.
Basically
the same thing. We cut to a meeting of ministers. They're all talking about Jean's book and about their inability to suppress it. They decide to assign the royal guard to track her down. So we're gonna peel our forces to go track her down. We jump to a lonely monastery in Savernay. Jean and Nicolas are there. Nicolas is pumped that the books are selling well. He's like, look at all this commission money we got. And Jean reminds him that we're captives. We can't leave this monastery. And as soon as we finish these books, they're just going to kill us. She gets real drunk and says that she's tired. She looks down at her ring and thinks about her sister. Back at the Jarjet's estate or manor, Granny asks Oscar why she has to go track down Jean herself. And Oscar's like, I don't know, it's my job, but it's not like I know where she is, so it probably won't be me who catches her. And then she leaves. Rosalie's about to leave, but Granny stops her to give her a letter she got from Jean. Rosalie reads the letter, and inside there's the ring. The letter says that Rosalie should have the ring because, after all, Jean is so happy now in Savernay. Rosalie, what?
Well, do we think she said that because she wants to be caught, or
she's putting it out here. We're gonna see how this pays off, or why she puts this in there, but she is saying that. Yeah.
Oh, right. It's kind of a test.
Yep. Rosalie returns to the riverbank and thinks that Jean is almost certainly lying about being happy. In all her time growing up, she never saw Jean laugh genuinely. Suddenly, Madame Polignac shows up. She asks Rosalie if she's reconsidered joining her. But Rosalie refuses. She starts to leave, but Polignac says that she really should reconsider because if she doesn't, Oscar will be arrested. Polignac explains that between Nicolas being her subordinate and Rosalie living at her house, Jean's little sister, Oscar has two strikes against her, and that certainly will be enough evidence to get her arrested. But if she comes with Polignac, nobody will have to know about one of those things, because the other one is just public knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
We cut to Oscar leading a cavalry charge against some bandits. They apprehend a woman who looks like Jean, but is just a bandit leader instead. Andre says that the troops are tired of false leaves, but they have no other option but to keep looking.
Well, Polignac also says if Oscar takes too long to capture Jean, then it also looks like she's conspiring with her.
Right, yeah. So if it takes too long, it's also suspicious.
Hmm.
Later that night, an exhausted Oscar is passed out drinking some wine. Rosalie takes the glass and looks at her beloved Oscar passed out in a chair. We get a flashback of the rest of the conversation with Polignac, where Rosalie agrees to go with her in order to protect Oscar. We cut to the masked man, who's definitely not the Duke Orleans, and his henchmen discussing what to do with Jean now that she's finished writing her 5 volumes of memoirs. She made up 5 volumes worth of stuff. It's incredible. They decide to go a different approach than just killing her themselves. The next day, Rosalie packs her things. Andre tells Oscar, who apparently has no idea this is happening, that Rosalie is leaving. Rosalie says goodbye to Oscar. She thanks her for taking care of her. And Oscar is like, why is this happening? What is going on? Rosalie says that she's been thinking that she should return to her birth mother. But Oscar rushes down to go see what's going on. She's like, something happened, didn't it?
Hmm.
She sees Rosalie sobbing at the bottom of the stairs. So Oscar says that she won't ask any more questions. Polignac is her birth mother after all. So I guess this is okay. She asks Rosalie to promise to find her happiness. Oscar gives her a necklace and they say their goodbyes.
Well, she also gives her the note, right?
Not yet. Rosalie pulls off in Polignac's carriage, thinking to herself, saying goodbye to her youth, goodbye to her happiness, and goodbye to Lady Oscar. As Oscar once again misreads the situation. She knows something is wrong and she just lets her go.
Well, I think, well, we've seen Oscar does not force anything onto anyone, even if she thinks it's wrong.
Yeah.
Letting everyone make mistakes.
She does let everyone make mistakes.
But do we know? Yeah, especially just does she think she's doing this because of something to do with Oscar, or she's just doing it for some other reason Oscar doesn't know? So she knew it was like to protect her, maybe she would do something, but I'm sure we'll just see Rosalie being miserable at some. It's just
it's
awful.
Gonna go bad,
like,
for her.
She's just a replacement for Charlotte. Yeah. So, and we saw how that went. So
it's going to go bad.
Oh, God. And I guess it's been 4 years since that. But like you would think she would have learned not to be so controlling of her daughters. But that clearly is not the case.
Yeah, Oscar's chivalry is really causing her to run out of runway to get anything done. Mm-hmm. She's basically just hemming herself in and everyone's running circles around her.
Yeah,
this is really rough.
Yeah.
After she leaves, a maid hands Oscar Jean's letter to Rosalie that reveals she's in Savernay. Oscar is so overwhelmed that she tells Andre not to tell anybody until they figure out what she wants to do. Later, she's called in to the palace because the ministers have learned that they got an anonymous tip that Jean is in Savernay. So I guess we handled that. Oscar accepts the job because she's like, well, at this point, it's over for Jean. I mean, she's going to get caught. Might as well be her who goes. Oscar and company set out while Duke Orlean watches, or I'm sorry, the masked man watches the procession go out to go arrest her. At the monastery, Jean's getting real drunk. Nicholas tells her that the royal guards have him surrounded. Okay. What?
So many times this episode, you've been like, got real drunk.
Yeah.
Just like 4 or 5 times
people
now.
People getting real drunk.
Like everyone's just
I feel like Jean is the most justified
up.
In doing that.
Yes.
I feel like Oscar maybe should not be getting real drunk, but you know.
Nah.
Sometimes you just get real drunk. I don't know.
Not in your officer uniform at the very least.
That's not what you should be doing.
That's bad. Yeah.
Oscar orders them to come out of the monastery. They have them surrounded, but Jean just takes a seat instead. She's like, I'm done. She'll just come get me. Whatever. Instead of raiding the building, Oscar decides to go in alone. Which is incredible.
Which I feel like makes you look suspicious.
It so
like,
does.
If these officers are like, oh, she is working with her. She's like, she doesn't want us to come in.
Oh my God. Like, it's so suspicious. It's like crazy. That yeah. I mean, I get why she does this because she's like, she likes Jean. I mean, like it's Rosalie's sister. You know what I mean? Like she wants to go talk with her. She wants to bring her out with dignity, all that other stuff. Right. But this is the most suspicious thing you could ever do. Like, especially by the way, this turns out like, oh, you went in by yourself and this is what happened. Okay.
Yeah.
Just,
we'll see if it comes up.
Everybody's doing unforced errors this time around. And this is a big one for Oscar. She says that if a gunshot rings out, that's the cue for the raid to start. If she pulls out a pistol to like, it is like an action hero and she sneaks in. Oscar goes in alone. Nicholas tries to shoot her as she enters the like room they're in. But she tells him that if a gunshot goes off, that's the signal for them to raid the whole building. So he stops. Oscar tells Jean to come with her. She's like, you can have some time to get dressed or whatever if you want to like come out looking a certain way, which is nice, you know. Cool. Jean doesn't move.
Yeah.
What?
So gallant.
Yeah, so gallant. Really gonna work out for her. Jean doesn't move and instead asks if Rosalie told Oscar where she was hiding. After a long moment, Oscar says no, and Jean is thankful that at the end of the day, she had one ally still left. Nicholas hits Oscar
with a
rifle.
That was nice and sad.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
Sorry, I was just gonna say, oh.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. That's all I got.
Yeah, unfortunately, this moment is undercut by Nicholas hitting Oscar in the back of the head with his rifle, knocking her out cartoon style. Everybody in a movie can knock someone out in one hit. It's much more difficult to do in real life. He's like, we can use Oscar as a hostage to try to escape, but Jean isn't interested. She's like, I'm staying here. It's over. Nicholas is pissed off and starts to strangle Oscar in a rage as Oscar calls out to Andre. Outside, Andre hears Oscar's plea and rushes in after her. It's incredible. He's like, I gotta go in there. And the other guard is like, I'm sorry, what? And he just goes, he's like, you can't just leave your post, Andre. What are you doing? It's so good.
He hurt her, though.
He's hurt her.
Magical bond.
Just like how he can always tell them. She's a woman, he can also hear her when she says his name. Inside, Nicholas is about to kill Oscar when Jean stabs him in the back with a knife. She drags him off as Andre rushes in. Oscar is like, I'm okay, and tells Andre that they fled to the basement to go die. Andre rushes to the basement to see that they have lit some dynamite to blow the whole building up. Or it's like gunpowder or something.
Mm-hmm.
In their final moments, Jean apologizes to Nicholas for killing him too, but he says it's okay. She's the best woman he's ever known, and they kiss. Andre is barely outside when the entire building explodes. The narrator, yeah.
Sorry, I know you only have one line left. I was just gonna say, I didn't think she actually liked Nicholas very much, so I was surprised by the tender moment at the end. I guess it was the end, though, so
it's the
end.
That's what a bottle of vodka does for you, you know?
Mm,
I mean, he did go along with the plan, right? Like, he was useful.
He did kill her good-natured caretaker.
That's true. They did kill that old woman.
Yeah.
The narrator says that this draws the end of the diamond necklace affair. No one ever found out who the noble helping her was. I mean, it was probably the Duke d'Orléans, but nobody ever knows because Jean died in that explosion as we cut to credits.
Yep. Big thing. Our favorite, our best villainess yet, dead. I feel like from here on out, it's just going to be dudes being the antagonist now. Like Duke Orleans going to re-enter the scene and be the main antagonist again.
Yep.
Or Polignac is going to come back as our main evil lady.
Yep.
You thought she was done after she killed her daughter, basically. But no, she's back.
She's back. It's God. What is she gonna? She's gonna marry her off to that vampire
Rosalie
guy.
I hope not. Hopefully she's too old for him now. Which is horrible, but like Rosalie. She's got what is she gonna do to her? She's probably not gonna let her talk to Oscar anymore, which will be the biggest bummer for her.
Yeah.
Not that she had like particular goals in mind for what she was going to do. She didn't like change anything in the last 4 years. She's just been playing the piano and riding horses, I don't know. Well, I assume they won't take the Jean thing. Well,
I mean, she knows it's happening.
Sister's
I'm sure
dead now too. And all she has is her shitty ass birth mother who's holding her hostage. Yeah. So things are going to get grim for Rosalie.
I can't help but notice that the theme between maybe like a little theme that shows up in between these episodes is that when you have the opportunity to kill somebody, you probably should take it because Jean did not kill Nicole, which, to be fair, would have been in cold blood. Right. I mean, that's somebody who's on your team. That's what gets her convicted. So she goes down for that. And Rosalie didn't shoot Polignac in the face when she probably should have. She probably should have killed her. Charlotte would have still been alive. She wouldn't be getting dragged off. Even Marie might not be branded so much as a lesbian because Polignac would have been dead. You know,
yes,
like
worst thing
John
ever.
Would have been like, oh, remember Polignac? And people would have been like, who's that? I don't remember. That was like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
See? Sometimes you just got like, I would not be surprised in the next couple of episodes if Duke Wamina showed back up and like wrecked Oscar's life somehow, you know?
Oh, yeah. Just another like, oh,
you
should have.
You got to take the shot. You got to plug up loose ends. I'm feeling like all these people are getting punished for being merciful or being good dudes or listening to your morals. It's not really working out. This is not the morality era.
Well, like the end justifies the means kind of should be taken more to heart in this scenario because it's not just you who's at stake here. It's like the entire country. So maybe you have to sacrifice some things, but it's for the greater good of this country that you love so much.
Yeah, I mean, Marie wanted everyone to go be put on trial to have a fair trial. And I guess the trial was fair. I mean, the sentencing was correct. Still didn't work out for her, though. Disastrous.
No, yeah, I feel like it's just going to be... Well, are we going to do another, like, skip from what just happened and just... Or are we going to immediately be, like, the people freak out finding out Jean's dead, or...
Well, I feel like the next thing that happens...
Marie Antoinette reads her memoir.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I feel like the next thing that's going to happen... I mean, we still need Fersen to show up, like, physically, right?
Oh, yeah. Yes.
That's kind of been the most recent flag that's been planted. I guess we'll find out what fate awaits Rosalie. What Polignac has planned up for her. I sure hope we don't see that vampire guy anymore. Hopefully Rosalie's too old for him. But I imagine it's going to be something along that lines. Why else would you need a daughter suddenly? It's got to be to marry her off to someone, right?
God, what if she try to marry her to Rohan?
Oh my God. Yeah.
But he's in the church, right?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. He's a cardinal, so he
can't
get married.
Are they allowed to marry?
No.
So, no, okay. Ew.
Yeah, so that's...
Well, shouldn't the proof of him, like, actively sending these love letters, even if it was a fluke, shouldn't that be like, oh, he gets kicked out of clergy for, like, engaging in this romantic thing or something?
I mean, you know, as time has proven, clergy can get away with a lot without actually getting in real trouble. I would not be, surprised that this meant nothing. No consequence to him.
Dang.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. But Robespierre sure be out here, you know, rallying the people, setting them all up.
Yeah, I guess. Right. Because this was episode 25. So we have.
That was episode 24.
Eight. Sorry.
We have 16 left.
92, 23, 24. Right. Okay. So we are like 8 episodes away from the thing we saw accidentally early on. So I feel like it's just going to be escalating to that now. So everything's going to be very like revolution impacting.
Yeah. I know that episode 34 is called the tennis court oath, which is you're in it. If you're doing the tennis court oath, you are in it.
Yeah.
So we got a little bit of runway left, but I think we're getting to the revolution. I think it's happening soon.
Mm-hmm. I just hope there's some Fersen Oscar.
Oh, I'm sure Fersen will come back.
All I can hope for.
Yeah. We'll see about. I'll be Andre Herder. Call out to him though. He heard it from outside. Yeah, yeah.
Uh-huh.
My man is in love.
God. Okay. I know, but nothing has happened.
No, because he can't express
at this point. So I don't think it's ever going to
happen.
Because
Andre's okay with keeping it dormant. He's on board for that.
Well, surely at some point, he has his grandma. Does he have any other family? Like, I would think he's 30. Like, normally someone his age would be married already.
I don't know.
I mean, same applies to Oscar.
Well, Oscar can't get married. She's too busy being Marie Antoinette's pretty boy
lesbian. God.
They should have just had her marry Fersen. This all would have been solved if that would have just happened, you know?
Yep, yep, yep.
Mm. Could have done it.
Well, from here, it'll get just even more dramatic.
Worse.
I can imagine.
I feel like at this point, Oscar is not going to join the revolution. I feel like she is definitely in the royal camp at this point. I feel like she's going down with the ship.
She's buckling down. Yes, exactly. Yes.
Which
and she's not a pirate like our main man.
She doesn't
know
how to go down with the ship.
She's not going
to
make it.
Yeah, it's hey, we're seeing Duke Orleans Vandroid back in. That's fun. We missed out on this guy. I haven't seen him stab one of his subordinates in a minute.
That's true. He has pretty eyes, I will say.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So a couple things. I'll mention a couple things about the actual historical stuff going on here. So a couple things that weren't mentioned in the Diamond Necklace affair. One is that they also charged another guy who basically had nothing to do with anything.
Was there like a reason they wanted to? Because he was like an annoyance in a different way.
It was
like there's reason to lump him in on this just to get rid of him.
Hold on. It's the Count Cagliostro, a proclaimed holy man, a self-proclaimed holy man who came, whom the cardinal was a patron. So it's just somebody who worked for the cardinal, but was like kind of a weird guy.
Gotcha.
So this guy had nothing to do with anything. He gets found innocent.
Yeah,
Jean doesn't die in a big explosion in a monastery. She actually escapes in real life. She actually escapes to England and then dies as a result of injuries after falling out of a hotel room running away from debt collectors.
Okay.
So, yeah.
This is a better, much more cinematic ending.
I enjoy this ending more than just like, and then she dies unrelatedly somewhere else.
Yeah. 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 Cool. Okay. That's good to know.
Yep.
They're fun. Interesting. Yep. Devastating. Our each witch is gone. I know.
She was the biggest. She was the heaviest hitter of all, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You know? Yep.
I mean, Dewberry can, like, you know, get a king to fall in love with her or whatever, and then she gets a bunch of stuff, which is, you know, that's not nothing, but, like, turning an entire court of people against the queen, the reigning queen, on, like, a complete bluff. Mm-hmm. Incredible work.
Yeah.
Incredible work. We love to see that. Even Oscar was like, I didn't know somebody could do that. I didn't realize somebody could be that resilient. Because Oscar is somehow really naive still. I don't know.
Take notes, Oscar. Freaking pick a cause just, and go for
just
it.
Just getting fleeced. They're just getting wrecked, dude. Oscar is playing no defense at all. Everybody's running circles around her. Marie is also just getting totally destroyed. Embarrassing.
Mm.
You know, having Polignac as her, like, one confidant who can scheme a little bit, but she's not really scheming on Marie's behalf, it seems, you know?
No.
Nobody in your court. Awful.
Oh.
But yeah. All right.
Well, we'll have to see.
Diamond Necklace Affair.
Who replaces for, our new antagonist. And
it's whittled down. It's just Polignac and Orleans.
Worse and stuff. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're technically only a little over halfway. So I guess there's time to introduce. Or I feel like it's just going to be maybe someone on the royal side that's like a huge part of the revolution. Gets introduced or something.
I don't know. I mean, it seems like I feel like we're drawing it into the character driven part of the story and leading more into like the big plot part, right? Which is, you know, obviously the French Revolution. That's at least how it feels like, because it kind of feels like we're tying up all of the characters a little bit
loose.
I mean, we still got a ways to go with Rosalie, right? And that can go anyway because she's like an invented character, more or less. I don't know what's going to go on with Polignac. I mean, you can only stray so much from what happened with her historically, so she can't just like suddenly drop dead. And we got Fersen. We got Fersen drama. We'll see what he's how he's holding up, I assume. And then I think that's kind of it. I don't know if we have anything. Are there any other irons in the fire that we're waiting for?
Andre's love.
That's true. What's he going to ever like say it out loud?
Yeah.
What's Oscar going to do? Is she ever going to like show any interest in romance ever?
Yeah. And where is her sister? Or if we. We'll see. I'm excited. This has just been a very good show.
Well paced.
What did we learn today, Joe?
I feel like if you got the opportunity, gotta pull the trigger. Like, listen, I think it's bad to do. I think it makes you a bad person to do that, right? But also,
but great
if
character.
If you want the desirable output, you're gonna have to. Sometimes you gotta pull the trigger. You know, sometimes you have to shoot your birth mother in the face, who totally deserves to be shot in the face, even if it feels bad. Like, it's okay. And Oscar should get over this whole like, oh well, she's your birth mother thing. Like, that's not an excuse, Oscar. What are you talking about? Don't just believe that.
I think she just said it to be agreeable to make Rosalie feel better about the fact that she wasn't gonna change her mind. To at least go with like. So she can pretend that she doesn't have to worry about Oscar worrying about her.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, that's.
Assuming it's more of the case. That sounds like
what it is, but just, oh gosh.
Yeah. Do I bring interesting thoughts to the table?
Yeah.
You? Okay, cool.
You're the first one to point out the pirate jobs. Man.
There,
We gotta come up with a name for that guy.
Yeah. Joe.
Accordion.
What's your pirate name?
Is there like a pirate name?
I don't know. There's probably some, you know how they have like, oh, put the color shirt you're wearing with the last thing you ate, and that's like your stripper name. There's gotta be a pirate version of that.
Mm-hmm. What's like a pirate thing about somebody who speaks the truth, but in like a, he's like a bard, you know what I'm saying? Because he's like got that accordion, mm-hmm. the buccaneer bard, you know?
Yeah, that sounds good.
Yeah. Man, that guy's great. I bet we'll see a lot of him. I was glad to see him several times in these episodes. Love to make a little freak.
So I guess he's going to be our little guy moving forward. Yeah. Giving us the sentiment.
Oh, man.
We'll see if the alcoholism continues, if it ramps up even more.
If you're going to go out.
Yeah, I mean.
Just blow up a giant thing of gunpowder. Just blow up an entire building.
Be dramatic about it.
Be as dramatic as possible. I don't know. What else did we learn? Did we learn anything good that we could actually use?
Every time.
I don't know. I think that's like...
obsess with your childhood love interest so much that you have like a telepathic connection one way. So you just hear when they call for you. They can save your love.
You can't really decide to be a stay-at-home mom if you're the Queen of France. That's just kind of like not... like, unfortunately, that's just not... like, I understand that your daughter is very cute and it seems like you have a lot of fun. It's kind of just not an option for you, though.
Yeah, you can still be involved in it. It doesn't... you don't have to be there constantly. You just be there every day when you can. That's tough.
If right before your mom dies, she says you suck at your job, it's probably bad. You should probably do something. You should probably start changing the way you behave. Well, I feel
like maybe her mom... like, did they have much exchanging of letters like in between when she was like knocking off and then the notice of her death? Because maybe she could have been like, hey, get it together or visit or something.
She can't visit.
I don't know. Or send your brother
There's got to be somebody that can visit her.
Another great lady lost in these episodes, dropping like flies. Just
getting rid of all the old guard. Fallen.
Yeah.
Well,
alrighty, folks.
That's that, I guess.
Review.
Rate us 5 stars on your podcast platform of choice. We don't have enough ratings for my taste. I think we should get some more. I'm going to contact my good friend, the Cardinal, and convince him to pay a down payment on all of my review creation services. And if you approve of this action, you guys wouldn't sell me out, right? If I sent you a letter saying I was hiding in a monastery in a place, you wouldn't give it to Oscar until it was too late already, right? You wouldn't sell me out because we're good. We're pals here. We're in cahoots. So you should express your cahoot loyalty by giving us 5 stars and leaving a comment saying, I'm in cahoots. All caps. Do that. We will be very appreciative. We will include you on our 5-volume memoirs. It will be a great time. So please do that and tell your friends. Tell your friends to do that too, because it's more likely they'll do it if they hear it from you. If they hear it from me, they're like, oh, cahoots, that's a funny word. But if they hear it from you, they'll actually do it, you know? So tell your friends to listen to this podcast. Tell your friends to learn about the French Revolution and how maybe some of those ideas might become relevant in the world soon. So remember that people in the past did this stuff and it could happen again for no particular reason. Mm-hmm. Anyway. Also, just learn about the crisis of Bavarian succession, because it's like, that's a cool name. I think you should just learn random stuff. That's fun. But just don't spend all your time making locks in your forge. I think you should get some other hobbies besides that.
Yep. All right, Joe. We're going to wrap it here. I'm not going to say any last thoughts because I think we've given them all out.
We got to save some thoughts.
I believe you could keep going on. Yeah. But
this is the best part of the show that nobody listens to because it's an hour and a half in. Yeah, this is where I turn on, you know? This is where all the energy is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
Just when you want it.
Okay. Speaking of the end, we're ending it. Thanks for listening, everyone, and we'll catch you next week.